Story time. The time during the week where we talk about what happened during our campaign. Our favorite moments, what we learned about ourselves, and what we learned about each other. Please join us now as we enjoy story time.
So welcome back to another story time. This week we are focusing on the Voyage of the Unending Sea, Mitch's campaign. And we left off last time running into some turtle folk that we weren't sure whether or not they would be able to help us out or not. And that's where we left off last time. We all leveled up this past time that we got together. So Mark, as his character with Cedric, he had this new spell that he gets to whisper into a glass and he can take over bodies. And so he did that with the turtle. The turtle didn't like it very much. They all left to go and try and find the rest of the group, and I decided to go with the turtle as Sonjin to see if we could make amends and make peace for what had just happened. And so that's not a very important part to the story. I did that. It didn't lead anywhere. The more important parts of the story and the more interesting things that happened with the cabin that Zillocent had run across in the past. And so we'll pick up there with Craig in the cabin.
Well, yeah, because the Turtlekin didn't speak the language that you did, and you ended up just playing Pictionary with him, and it didn't really get you anywhere,
which was fun,
unfortunately.
But yeah, it didn't get us anywhere in the end.
But yeah, then the rest of the group caught up with Zillicent at this cabin on a cliff, hanging off this cliff, and they decided to knock on the door and see who was inside.
Yeah, and so they went inside the cabin, and they came. I think there was three people that were inside of it, if I remember correctly.
There were three. And what was the significance of the first person that opened the cabin door?
The significant thing about this character was it was played by somebody else in our group. So Caleb, who we had no idea what happened to Garzak. He didn't show up at all in this edition of Storytime that we know of. And he was playing this character that you and him had worked out prior to. And I know you guys were Facebooking a lot back and forth of like, okay, how do I answer this? What's going on? But I have to say that was pretty darn cool that you guys did, having Caleb play one of the crazy people that was inside this cabin that led us into a very dark and mysterious place, but we'll get to that.
Well, yeah, it came down to Caleb had decided that this was the end for Garzak. Garzak could not go on. He was just too distraught, and he wanted to play a new character. Knowing what I knew about where we were, I was like, well, that's kind of hard. So I allowed Caleb to play an NPC character that was supposed to be a pretty important NPC character. And we had discussions around it beforehand, and that it's been working out really, really well so far.
Oh, I didn't know that's what happened. I didn't know he gave up being Garzak.
Yeah, he said that this was an end. He didn't see Garzak coming back from the distraughtness of the shipwreck and all this stuff, and he wanted to start somebody new, and I wanted to be able to honor that as him as a player, but I had to come up with some creative things on the fly of how do I get him to play a new character where you guys are at right now. And so I was like, I guess I can let him play the NPC that was going to be joining you guys.
I'll try not to metagame that as we go back into our game tonight about him not playing Garzak anymore. But so he played this character named Craig, who for all intents and purposes was a little bit crazy. Like, he just did a lot of babbling and stuttering and talking about a lot of nonsense that we had no idea what he was talking about. He was a really old dude that lived in this cabin, and he said he had been here for a long, long time at this point in time. And there, he was not alone in this cabin either. There were two other people that were in this cabin. One guy, I think, I can't remember his name, so you might have to help me out with that.
There was the one that opened the door who was played by Caleb. His name was Craig.
Right.
And then there was another, so he described them as his brothers, but they would be the, if they are brothers, then I guess it would make sense that they would be the equivalent of what twins would be if there are nine,
like,
brothers,
nine,
because we found
something
out there are nine brothers. There's three that are living, and so the three that are in the cabin are Craig, that's played by Caleb. There is Treen, who was rocking back and forth in a rocking chair, just muttering to himself over and over again. And then there was Noon, who was in the corner, smacking the wall and yelling out profanities.
That's right. You only did that once throughout the night. But yeah, it definitely made an impact on us. Like, wait, what did he just say? What is he doing? But yeah, so he talked a lot about, like, well, we didn't really know exactly what he was talking about, but at one point in time, he whispered to us.
Because he seems very crazy.
Yeah, he's pretty crazy. So he said to us over and over again, like, we just kept talking to him, trying to figure out what he was talking about. And at one point in time, he said, "You must be dead. Like, to be safe, you must be dead." And we were like, what? Like, we're not going to die. That makes absolutely no sense to us. And Mitch, maybe you can explain this a little bit better, but what exactly were we trying to go after, and why was he saying that we had to be dead in order to do that?
So you guys had come to this cabin, and he basically realized, like, there was this aha moment for him, like a light bulb above his head, like, oh, you guys must be here to help me retrieve the Black Lantern. And he just kept saying, you asked him where it was, and he just kept saying down, 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 down. And he kept on muttering down to you guys, like, he is clearly off his rocker. Treen's the one on the rocker, but right, he's clearly nuts to some degree. But, and so you guys agreed to help him. You guys have nowhere else to go. This is the only person that you've met. And he said, you have to be dead to be able to follow me. And that was very strange. And so he said for you guys to go outside and to start digging up his brother's grave. Yeah. So you guys went around digging up his dead brother's graves. Some of you were not okay with this. You were very, like, upset by this, weren't having it, but some of you did it, and you dug up these dead brother's graves, and you find these skeletons at the bottom of each of them, and they have these packs, and inside the packs you find these cloaks. And he tells you to put on the cloak, and when you put on the cloak, you appear like you're a ghost.
Right.
So it's like this ghostly cloak that when you put it on, you look like you are dead. And so that is what this babbling crazy man Krig must have
meant. We got that after about 45 minutes of him repeating it over and over and telling us, no, we're not going to kill ourselves. Like, that's not going to happen in order to be able to follow
you. It's almost been like trying to figure out a riddle to the nth degree, because this character in himself is a riddle.
Right.
I've allowed Caleb to play this character, and I just said, here are the things that you know. Here is the stuff that you would reveal to these players, and while you do it, don't do it in a way that makes sense. Like, you're crazy. Your mind is not going to work the same way that other people's are going to work. So he's been explaining things to you guys in ways that you're like, you have to, like, figure out what exactly he's meaning.
Yeah.
So you found these cloaks, you dug up these dead brothers, and then you also found a couple other items that he basically told you bring them with you. I know there was a torch that is some sort of torch that lights up at some ridiculous words. There was
like something like, I want to wear my grandma, or I want to wear grandma's garments, or something like that. I think is
something, so, is something lines, crazy. Yeah. Like, and then that, yeah, you found like an ever growing ladder that you're able to, like, basically demand that it stops growing and shrinks. And you found a lantern with an eyeball on it, just some really weird items, but he said, bring them all. So before you guys headed out, because he basically said, like, it's time to leave, you guys went inside to have some food, not the most delicious food. But one of you guys decided to go up to Treen, the brother who was in the rocking chair, and hear what he was muttering about. I think basically Krig told you, like, oh, he knows more about the story. Like, go talk to him. And so basically you guys went up to this rocking old crazy man, and he just kept on repeating these lines. He kept on saying, one day, one who breathes the breath of life shall do what God and angel cannot, shall descend into the lands of the dead with hearts of purity and courage in tow. The one who shall grasp the Black Lantern, and the glass will break. The sun will make the call and never set for all of Atos. The king shall rise and all of Atos rise to greet him. The cosmos will bring balance, and the great wrong will be made right, for it is written, and so it shall be. And so that was what you guys heard about with Treen just rocking back and forth, and he just kept on saying it over and over again. What was your guys, what was your reaction as a player and as a character to this?
It sounded very, I don't know, it sounded like we had, like it was meant for us to go and do this, as terrifying as it sounds, because it's like, so neither God nor angel can do this? Okay, so why can we do this? Are we walking into somewhere? I mean, literally, we're talking about going into the land of the dead. So are we literally going to never be able to come? Like, there's just so many unknown things about this. I was like, I don't know. Like, this seems a little outlandish, a little difficult for us to go and do. I'm not sure how Sanjin feels about this, whether he should actually be going and doing this, whether this is his purpose in life, but he didn't have anywhere else to go, so he figured he could potentially learn something about himself going and doing this type of thing.
And so, yeah, that's exactly what it was. You guys had figured out, oh, this guy is talking about going into the land of where the dead, where dead men are. Mm-hmm. And so you guys head out from this cabin, and he brings you alongside this cliff, and you just start heading down the side of this cliff, further and further and further down. You guys spend about a week traveling down this crazy stairway that is like hanging off the side of this cliff. And so you guys eventually reach this tunnel, and you go through this tunnel, and you find this door that has a mask that's half black, half white, half grinning, half frowning. Many of your players, you as players, know that this is the symbol of
Holy Damara. The crazy little trickster himself.
This character, Krig, puts his hand on the door. The door opens, and you guys step out of this crypt, and you're inside this land of the dead. It's huge. It's just flowing fields of like crypts popping up from the ground. Souls of the dead are coming out of these crypts, and they're heading in one direction. And so you guys decide, well, Krig says we have to follow, so you keep on following these souls.
Yeah, and there's these crazy big monsters with like spotlights for eyes that, you know, eventually would shine over us, and we would have to roll a save to make sure that we didn't run away, right? In fear, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And at this point, I mean, we got past it the first time, okay, like we were on the other side of them, and then we see something that no mortal eye probably has ever seen that we know of at this point in the world of Atos. We saw a big figure off in the distance who basically looked like the Grim Reaper, like what you think of. And Mitch, I knew what you were doing at this point in time, and I'm still wondering at this point whether it's just like an illusion that we're seeing, or actually if this is the god Nerul himself that we're seeing off in the distance.
I guess we'll have to find out.
Yeah, that's essentially what we saw off in the distance, was whether it's actually Nerul or whether it's just an illusion of some kind. We saw a figure that, like a massive, massive figure, like skyscraper height of what looked to be Nerul-esque in nature.
And so this is where I introduced a new mechanic that we'll be playing with in this land of the dead, a sanity mechanic. And so I had you guys on a scale of 1 to 20 put yourself where you believe after this entire journey that each of your characters were at as far as being holding on to their sanity. And so you guys each gave me a number. I have those numbers written down, and you guys saw Nerul and you rolled a die, and what it was a wisdom save, and if you failed it, you had to take a number off of your sanity. And so this is a mechanic that we're going to use while we're in this land of dead. And basically, if you guys reach zero, it's like you're dead. You can't go on anymore. And the closer and closer you get to zero, the more and more I told you guys you have to act like you are going insane as your character.
So Krig must be pretty far really down that spectrum already.
Yeah, so I'm really interested to see where you guys, how you guys react to things, who gets the saves versus against like losing their sanity when people fail. And we had a moment where everybody sees this god who everybody's like, it looks like the Grim Reaper. Dordain failed the save. What happened?
And he was just like instantly like, I can't do this. Like, we have to get out of here. He started... essentially going against the flow of where all of the creatures that were dead were going. And so he was going back, like trying to swim upstream as fast as possible. And he's like bumping into other dead, and the dead are starting to take notice of this. And they're like, no, no, like you have to come this way. Like you're doing it wrong. Like you have to come with us. And this big monster that's got the spotlight-esque, you know, face on it turns and is like, starting to look for what's disturbing the flow of the dead. And it's starting to look at us. And eventually we were just all like, we can't get caught. Like, we're actually not, like, we don't want to be caught living here in the world of the dead. And so we just...
And Craig starts screaming over the crowd of these wailing souls, like, grab him, grab him, drag him with us. We have to keep going. They're coming. And so that's what there was like a fight between your characters. Yeah. Like Zillicent jumped in to try and grapple him. Dordain like escaped. They're fighting. But eventually you guys had grabbed on to Dordain and just start like lifting him up, almost like crowd surfing, except he is like screaming like, don't bring me. And you're bringing him towards this vision of the god Nerul.
I just imagine at this point, like, we're going to get to the edge and there's going to be a pit and we're going to be like, you know, that classic 1, 2, 3, and you throw somebody in the pool. Like, that's what we're going to do with Duordain when we get to the hole.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and as you get closer, you see these chaotic, distorted, evil looking creatures, and they seem to be like sorting people as they go towards the god Nerul. And so that's where we left off with Dordain trying to leave. The rest of you like freaked out, but you had made your saves and going towards this god, going towards the sorting of the dead.
So we'll find out what happens. We're playing it tonight. We'll find out. So stay tuned to another edition of Storytime.
I've lost count of how many days we've been at sea. And despite that, I think my greatest lesson I am about to learn. To be protected, we must die. To gain the Black Lantern, we must die. Death. It's a recurring theme on this voyage. Many of my friends have died. Too much death. The very thing I oppose is happening all around me. This man named Krieg keeps talking about death, and now we find ourselves in the midst of the realm of the dead. The very thing that I am opposed to, I am now a part of. It appears as if the world of Atos is trying to teach me yet again that maybe death is not the enemy. Maybe there is something to learn through my journey into the realm of death. Whatever it is, this man Krieg seems to not fear death. He, in fact, almost appears to want it. He journeys further and further despite the complaints and hesitation of our group. Could he possibly be onto something and not simply only being a crazy old man? Maybe he knows something I am longing to know, something that I need to learn. Maybe this man knows more about life because he is so close to death.
Thanks for listening to this week's Storytime. We hope you've enjoyed these moments from our campaigns, stories about our characters and what they have done within our worlds. We hope that you have enjoyed your time here, and we hope that you come back again next week for another edition of Storytime.